visit engineersleap.com.
The Roar, with enough hot takes to melt your smart speaker. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
We welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hike continues right here on The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number. I did want to bring this up here because we're going to be talking Clemson men's basketball throughout the course of the program. And Clemson men's basketball put out a tweet today mourning the loss of Eldon Campbell, all-time leading scorer, All-American, and three-time All-ACC player who tragically passed away at the age of 57. Rest in peace to Eldon. You know, sending prayers, thoughts, and condolences to his family and friends at a time like this. And his legacy will not be forgotten anytime soon, John. That's arguably the greatest player to ever play here, but also just a great dude by all accounts off the court, according to everybody that knew him, everybody that shared a classroom with him, everybody that shared a court with him. So just wanted to make sure that we took a minute for that here this morning with Clemson men's basketball officially breaking that news this morning on their Twitter timeline. And rest in peace to Eldon Campbell.
Absolutely. Rest in peace to arguably the greatest basketball player in Clemson history.
Yes, that is for sure. 654 Roar is the number if you'd like to check in.
Incredibly missed.
Yeah, he will be, man. That's a legend. Like, going back and watching some of the tape, oh my gosh. Dude was a bucket. He could play, man. I wish he got to play in the modern era. I think his skill set would have been even more accentuated in the modern era, if that makes sense, because he was ahead of his time with a lot of the things he was doing. So rest in peace to Eldon Campbell, one of the greatest to ever do it, if not the greatest to ever do it here at Clemson, and his legacy will live on for sure. 654 Roar, if you want to check in. We've been talking a little bit of hoops. We've been talking a little bit of football. Brian Hartline getting hired at USF definitely jumps to the front of the page for us, though. Let's continue to break this down. I mean, goodness gracious, what a hire. I mean, I don't see how South Florida is not a, I don't want to say permanent, because obviously Hartline's never been a head coach. You got to go out there and win games. But this is the front runner for the G5 playoff spot for the foreseeable future, in my opinion, for reasons you also outlined before the break, which is facilities, NIL, infrastructure, the prioritization of football, them wanting to be a football school down there in Tampa. This feels like a team that's going to be, or a program rather, that's going to be a power player for that group of five spot for the indefinite future.
We think. Now, obviously, you still got to hit the portal correctly, and he's got to be able to show that he can recruit without the power of the Buckeye behind him, right? Like this, he's really about to have to show off his recruiting chops here. But no, I think this was a great hire and a great statement, and I'm glad to see, even at the G5 level, that we're starting to poach position coaches and coordinators and not just everybody going for head coaches all the dadgum time. We're going to run out of head coaches before it's all said and done if that's all we do is poach. But I think this is a very good job for him specifically. It's a guy who's been one of the best recruiters in the sport in a very talent-rich area. And I also think that he's striking while the iron is hot, because as we've seen over the last few days, John Sumrall leaving Tulane to go to Florida, as we are seeing Golish leaving South Florida to go to Auburn, Silverfield leaving Memphis to go to Arkansas. Like, there's a little bit of a void of a power void of head coaches here in this league that I think if he, you know, can really establish himself quickly, I'm very curious to see what kind of staff he puts together. But I think he has the opportunity to have one of the better G5 jobs in the country. But then again, this job has always been a, on paper, should be one of the best G5 jobs in the country. But yet we saw what happened with Coach Scott, and we've seen what has happened with so many others over Charlie Strong. Like, where it just, there's so many things on paper that make sense at South Florida, but doesn't always come to fruition. I want to make sure I bring that up. But for USF to get your coach poached to an SEC job, which is, hey, that's, you know, that's just a reality of life now. But to be able to land the arguably the top position coach in the country, to give him an opportunity to be your head coach, I'm here for it. And also, maybe this will help spread out some wide receiver talent across the country now that he's leaving Ohio State.
Texter gets in and says, group of five, what if spots open up in the ACC? Yeah, that's a different conversation for a different time. I mean, we'll see what happens, but you have to go imagine that South Florida would be a program and an athletic department that's towards the front of the food chain in relation to trying to get into a power league?
I guess, but I'll be honest right now, I'm not prepared or prepped to have a realignment conversation.
I don't think any of these leagues as well are looking to add with the way that things are currently
shaping
up.
We're trying to figure out how do we send 12 to the playoff in a week.
I also think Memphis would be a team that or a program that I would keep my eye on from an AD perspective or an athletic department perspective.
They offered the Big 12 $200 million to take them, and they still wouldn't take them. So yeah. I don't know if anybody's in the market right now to poach, especially at the Group of Five level. I don't know if, quite frankly, that's a conversation worth having.
A couple Eldon Campbell text. Eldon came all the way to Clemson from Cali, had a slick, fluid game for a big man, came in thin as a rail, teamed up with Dale Davis to form the Twin Towers, which was maybe the best front court in the nation, and the NBA put on a ton of muscle, was one of the only guys that could halfway contain Shaq because of it. RIP Eldon. Yeah, love all these Eldon stories. Jed gets in and says he had a very good NBA career as well. Yes. Yeah, his legacy is not one that will be forgotten anytime soon. I can guarantee you that. Not while we're behind the microphone, and we'll continue to show love throughout the course of the program today. And for the foreseeable future, that much is for certain. 654 Roar if you want to check in. Talking a little more NCAA football. Going to shift gears to some NFL and some college hoops at some point. John, we have a pick'em contest deadline coming up soon. I haven't submitted a singular pick for conference championship weekend, and I think a large part of that is we have North Texas and Tulane in the Our Coaches Have Bolted Bowl, is what I would like to deem it, in the AAC championship game. Now, Sumrall is still going to be coaching Tulane, is my understanding. And I want to say I saw Morris is still going to be coaching North Texas as well. So at least both coaches are seeing it through. I don't know what the situation looks like if one of those two schools were to hypothetically clinch a playoff berth and if they'd be allowed to coach.
They're coaching.
And I think they would be coaching
out. They're coaching out regardless. Yes, okay. The only coach who is not getting to coach his team any further is Lane Kiffin.
Okay.
Everybody else is still good.
Okay.
Because nobody else has lit bridges on fire the way Lane Kiffin did. So, you know, he doesn't get to coach.
Troy and James Madison. James Madison's a 24-point favorite in this one. I got to be honest, I think Troy might have a puncher's chance to win this football game. And I know that that's a little bit out there. Yeah, I do. I think that these conference championship games are a really level playing field and a reset button where you can ignite a certain gear of your team that doesn't exist otherwise. And what I mean by that is you're playing a one-game season and you're playing for a trophy. The pressure is entirely on James Madison. All of the pressure is on James Madison. You're a 24-point favorite, riding a 10-game win streak, playing for a college football playoff appearance. Your coach has accepted a job elsewhere. There's a lot of different things that are surrounding your program right now that are not related to this game. Meanwhile, when you're Troy on the other side of the equation, this game is everything. You've played your entire season to get to this game and to get to this moment. Your coaching staff is still entrenched. You've had a couple weeks to prepare. I don't know. I'm not saying they're going to win the game, but I think they're going to cover the 24-point spread for certain. And I think Troy is probably a little bit better than they're given credit for. Lost to Clemson, lost to Memphis. They obviously took it on the chin to Old Dominion a couple weeks ago, but they bounced back with two big wins, including going on the road to Hattiesburg, taking down Southern Miss. I think that's like more of a 7-14-point game than a 24-point game, if you want me to be honest with you. I think they find a way to keep it close, and that is for sure. And I like North Texas over Tulane as well in the AAC championship game. I don't think that Tulane team is very good, if you want me to be honest with you. I think that's a fraud 10-2. I think North Texas is much better. I worry about the way that the Mean Greens defense can hold up, but ultimately, Mestemaker's the best player on the field. I think they're the better coached unit. I think that Morris is a better coach than Sumrall, if you want me to be completely honest with you. I like what North Texas has been able to establish this year, so I'm leaning UNT in that one on the Friday games. Feel free to push back if you feel otherwise on either, but yeah, I think that's James Madison 27-20, not 31-7. I just think it's going to be significantly closer than the 24-point spread.
Right now, I'm actually leaning the JMU cover. But like I said, I haven't submitted my picks either. Still kind of working through some of this.
More conference championship games before we shift gears here on the program. BYU and Texas Tech. This is going to be the easiest one of the weekend for me. I think Texas Tech's going to win by a million. I don't think BYU is very good at all. I know that a lot of people think that they've been disrespected. I don't really view that in the same way. I think that they scheduled very, very weak in the non-con. They got drilled by Texas Tech on the road in Lubbock earlier this year. I thought that they probably deserved to lose the game against Colorado, probably deserved to lose the game against Utah. I think Satake's done a great job. I understand why people want to hire him. I mean, he's turned BYU into a relevant football program. That in its own deserves an immense amount of credit, but you're not getting a ton of credence from me if you're running through a Big 12 schedule and scheduling Portland State, Stanford, and ECU, no offense, and your non-con. So I like Texas Tech to drill them here. I think they're going to cover that 12.5 easily.
I think Texas Tech wins here and then wins at least a game in the college football playoff.
They're really good, man. Their lines of scrimmage play are ridiculously good. That's why Joey McGuire's begging the big boys to come to Texas Tech, right? If you're big, you play lines of scrimmage. They want you at Texas Tech. Georgia and Alabama, this is a no-brainer for me as well. I'm taking the Dogs. I thought they should have won the first time. Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We're so used to watching these two teams clash in the SEC Championship by this point. Yeah, Kirby only has one win against Alabama, but I thought he outcoached Kalen DeBoer in the first game, especially in the second half. And Alabama has not played great football as of late. Like, they have not necessarily been... they haven't matched the part visually down the stretch for what I would have liked.
Until Kirby Smart stops coaching Skurd against Alabama, I ain't going to pick Georgia. Give me Bama again. Because Kirby just can't, for some reason, beat Alabama. Dogs are incapable of doing so. So much so that Jared Kearse is like, I don't want anything to do with this. I'm going to go to a team that can beat Alabama. I'm going to go to Vanderbilt.
Seems like a mental block for sure for Kirby Smart. 8 p.m. Fox, Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. It's Indiana and Ohio State. I don't want to say that this is irrelevant because I think that would be disrespectful to the conference championship games and both of these teams and the seasons that they've had. But, like, these two teams have higher aspirations than winning this game, if we're being completely honest with each other. These two teams have their eyes set on the
Indiana?
National championship. Yeah.
Yes, they have their eyes set on the national championship. I don't think Ohio State gets out of bed for a Big Ten title. I agree with you there. They certainly view it as some Clemson fans view the ACC title, which I still think is ridiculous. But Indiana had a chance to win the Big Ten in football? Yeah, they're going to empty the tank here because I do think that the loser of this game is still going to get a bye. That I think you're going to have these two teams, the winner of the SEC game and Texas Tech, are your four teams who get byes. Yeah, I think Indiana completely empties the tank here to try to win their first Big Ten title in football because I think that means a ton to the check writers and the boosters and the people of that program and community. I think they're going to, because of the way Cignetti is wired and the way that he motivates people, I think knowing that they kind of have that safety net there allows them to completely empty the clip against Ohio State and to try to go win a title.
I was surprised to see the tickets are $500+, but I guess because it's in the state of Indiana, and like you said,
it's Indiana football, the losingest program of all time. No one has lost more football games than Indiana, ever.
Yeah.
And they're sitting here undefeated at a chance against Ohio State 1-2 in a conference title game where the spread is 4.
I'm taking Ohio State there.
Oh, we are going to be on opposite sides of that one. Give me Indiana to try to cover that number.
I'll be rooting for Indiana. Obviously, it goes without saying, Cignetti's a lot easier to root for than Ryan Day.
you think?
That's like legitimately the two ends of the likability spectrum in college football for head coaches. But
and programs, for that matter.
I don't know. I just see Ohio State doing something similar to what they did at home last year, where it's like it's going to be an ugly rock fight early. I will say I think Mendoza is vastly better and more dynamic than Curtis Rourke was in that passing game for Indiana last
year.
Sure,
absolutely.
And I think their pass protection is better. I do think Indiana is a legitimate live national championship contender. I will give them that credit. This is just it's a big moment for Indiana football for a lot of different reasons. And I think, to your credit, like my lean for Ohio State is more football. My lean emotionally is big time Indiana. Like, Indiana's going to care a lot more about this game. Their fans are going to be rowdy. They're going to be fired up. I don't know. This is a weird matchup. I think that both of these teams are thinking national championship. While Indiana, this would be a massive deal for their program, I do think that both of these teams are capable of winning the national championship. And then Bank of America Stadium up in Charlotte, it's not the Panthers, it's Duke in Virginia. Duke needs a miracle to get into the college football playoff. Virginia is essentially winning in, and they would... wow. Virginia is winning into the college football playoff. Real thing. These two teams matched up a couple weeks ago. Virginia dominated this game against Duke, and for whatever reason, Duke could not get the run game going. That was my biggest takeaway from this game a couple weeks ago, was the dominance on the ground. Jamari Taylor went 18 carries for 133 yards and 2 touchdowns. Virginia ran the ball as a team 42 times for 224 yards. Duke ran it 23 times for 42 yards. And also, with that being said, Duke's passing game got stifled to a level that I just think that they got out-coached. I think that they got outplayed. The yardage in this one was 540 to 255 in favor of Virginia, which is going to make it seem absolutely bonkers that I'm picking Duke to win the game, but this is a gut punch feeling here. I think Duke finds a way to get it. I think there's a turnover in this game that could potentially benefit the Blue Devils. I'll be rooting for Tony E, I think, and I'll be rooting for Virginia to punch their ticket, but the chaos scenario is enticing as well. I think I'm going to pick Duke with the points in this one. I just think the way that they dominated this game 2 weeks ago, the line being so short is a red flag for me. Why is the line only 3, 3.5? Why is it only a field goal separating these two teams on a neutral when Virginia went into their place 2 weeks ago, outgained them by double, and won by 17 points? Like, is that not a little fishy to you?
It's a little bit fishy, for sure. Still haven't decided where I'm going with that one. But yeah, the number seems a little fishy.
Maybe sure. I'm overthinking things. Oh my gosh, tickets are $40. I might go. Hold on, let me see what my Saturday looks like real quick. I might go to this one.
All right, we're going to take a break while you look at your calendar.
Let's take a quick break here. I might end up going to this one. This could be a fun one to attend. $40 to get in? Are you serious? For an ACC title game? I'm looking right now, John. These are good tickets for $40. You can get lower bowl for like $48 right now for the ACC championship game. And there's a lot of tickets available, let's put it that way. Quick break here on the program. We'll talk more conference championship games right after this.
It's that time of year again. It's time to start thinking about Seneca's Half Marathon and 5K. It's coming 2026, March the 14th. You've thought about it, maybe made a resolution or thought about maybe doing your first half marathon or 5K. Well, here's your year to do it. Sign up today. And what better way to give a present, too, if you'd like to give a stocking stuffer for the race entry? You can do that. Go to runsignup.com. It's going to be a lot of fun. 313 is a major sponsor with us, along with Henry Ramirez and all the gang at Upstate Medical Associates, our two official sponsors, and Santee Cooper is also involved. It's going to be a fun day. You can check out our website at Race for the Green at Seneca SC Events on Facebook. And if you'd like to know more information, just go to our website at seneca.sc.us. Make a resolution, make a commitment to do your first 5K or half marathon and a relay too. You can find it all at www.seneca.sc.us. It's Race for the Green 2026, March the 14th.
As the weather gets colder and sports now moves to games on hardwood floors, gridirons, and more. At Straight Up Sports, we will keep the full court press on with weekly series from legendary writers Bob Gillespie and Scott Kiefer, plus input from Mark Sturges and more. You'll get that story written like days gone by. There's also new links and videos added to the site every week as well. You can catch this all-star lineup at Straight Up Sports on Facebook or online at straightupsports.net.
We are here with Eric Snyder of Snyder Tree Care. Eric, do we need to start thinking about pruning our shrubs?
You know, we generally prune in the spring because they're growing like crazy and through the summer. But the fall's not a bad time to prune. They're going into a dormancy. If you can get in there and prune them, specifically hand prune those shrubs, they'll do so much better. And you can preserve the buds so the flowers come out better. You can find us on the web at SchneiderTree.com.
Leave it to Snyder Tree Care.
Did you know that up to 60% of the air in your home comes from your crawl space or basement? If water, moisture, musty odors, or wood rot are hiding under your house, it could be damaging your home and your health. Crawl Space Medic Upstate, locally owned by a Clemson Engineering alum, offers honest, certified evaluations that you can trust. Schedule your free inspection today. No gimmicks, no upselling, just clear answers and long-lasting repairs from a team of fellow Tigers at Crawl Space Medic Upstate.
Did you know when you buy your Christmas tree from the Clemson Sertoma Club, the proceeds help send a kid to summer camp? Buy your beautiful Fraser fir or Fraser fir wreath at Ace Hardware in Clemson at the intersection of Highway 76 and 123. They sell out quickly, so be sure to get yours today. Every purchase helps support children in need in our community, and that's what the holiday season is all about. Oh, and to make sure your holiday dollars stretch further, no price increases. Thank you for your support of the Clemson Sertoma Club.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and create an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176, or visit cantycanfixit.com. Is this the
Are you ready to rock like it's Wembley 86? One Night of Queen, performed by Gary Mullen and the Works, is coming to the Walhalla Performing Arts Center on Saturday, December 6th. Experience the magic, the music, and the moves of Freddie Mercury in this jaw-dropping tribute that's taken the world by storm. Tickets are on sale now at WalhallaPAC.com. That's WalhallaPAC.com. Don't miss your chance to feel the thunder of Queen live in Walhalla.
Did you know the IRS is hiring thousands of new revenue officers, leading to more audits and levies? If you have outstanding taxes, these changes could bring added stress and trouble your way. Take action now before things get worse. Let David Green at Green Law Firm help you resolve your tax issues before the IRS comes knocking. Call Green Law Firm today at 864-271-7940. That's 864-271-7940. Or visit greenlaw.legal. Act now and enjoy peace of mind tomorrow.
At Estes Heating and Air, family means everything. As a family-owned and operated business for over 25 years, we know the value of trust, care, and keeping your home comfortable year-round. From routine maintenance to emergency repairs, we treat every customer like one of our own. Because when you call Estes, you're not just another service stop, you're part of our family. Schedule your next service today at estesheatingair.com. Estes Heating and Air, family-owned, community-trusted.
Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan, featured products, or compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Want a boost in and out of the bedroom? Hims has you covered. Introducing a new 2-in-1 approach to level up your game. Tadalafil for better bedroom performance, and zinc for testosterone support. Put it all together and you've got what you need to turn things all the way up. Getting started is simple. Just go to hims.com/joy to start your free online visit. Through Hims, you can access ED treatments, including pills, chews, and more, 100% online. No office visits, no pharmacy lines. Just fill out a simple intake form, and a licensed medical provider will determine if treatment's right for you. If prescribed, it ships free and discreetly to your door. Find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy, hims.com/joy.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The Roar. Better than any music you'll hear being put on hold. We promise. We are the Roar.
We welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Fax and Childress and John Hite continues right here on 105.5 97.5 The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. About to throw it to our guest lines for our weekly Wednesday guest.
Absolutely. We are pleased to be joined this Wednesday, as we are just about every other Wednesday, by former Clemson offensive lineman and member of the William Byron Race Team, Landon Walker. Landon, how you doing this morning?
Guys, I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on, as always.
Anytime. Appreciate you taking the time. So let's go ahead and hop right into it. Clemson 28, South Carolina 14, order restored in the rivalry. As a former player in this series, as someone who's played a couple games in Williams-Brice, how good does it feel to see the Clemson Tigers get order restored within this rivalry?
Yeah, man, that was awesome. What a tough place to win at, and what a way to end the regular season. Coming away with a W in Williams-Brice, any day you do that, you got to be happy as a team. And to see what this team has done at the latter part of the season and fought through the adversity and come back and excelled a little bit, I think it's just really good for all the fans and everyone to have a little hope of what this team is really made out of. We talked about them all year having that fight in them, and whether we would see that. I think that's pretty evident now that we see a team that didn't give up. The locker room didn't quit on the coach. And vice versa. It just goes back to show you what kind of program and culture Dabo Swinney has built there. for these guys to not throw the towel in when, you know, really going into that South Carolina game probably for each team meant essentially less than it ever has meant. And I don't mean anything, you know, bad about that. It just hasn't had the implications that normally we see that game have. So for this team to fight through that, go on the road and look really, really good on both the offensive and defensive side of the ball, I was really happy for them, and so many takeaways from that. And I think my score that I predicted was 28-21, so I don't think I was far off from what ended up happening.
Disrespectful to the defense, Landon. You're being disrespectful to the defense thinking they'd give up 21. You know, something that I found interesting in this game, I'd love for you to maybe elaborate on this. I think one of the reasons Clemson was able to win this game was their ability to run the football and to be able to win time of possession. They had the ball for just about 39 minutes out of 60 in game time here. Does that really just help? I mean, just keep an offense going when you're able to run the football like that and be able to hold the football against an explosive offense like South Carolina?
Yeah, I mean, we talk about it all the time, the momentum that just having the ball and continuously having your offense on the field with some of the takeaways the defense had as well, putting them in a position to just, you know, really get Adam Randall moving down the field and had a 100-yard rush. I mean, that was huge in the development of the plays down the field that we saw Cade make. So, you know, ultimately this offense really, I think, for the last 5 weeks has been a pretty, you know, oiled machine. I feel like it's, the play callings look really good. The, you know, obviously from a player standpoint, you know, getting the running game going a little bit better and having Cade find Antonio Williams more throughout the course of the season really helped just see this offense move the ball down the field. And I think from an offensive line standpoint, you know, they really gave him a lot of time to throw the ball. So I didn't see a lot of, you know, a lot of pressures. I didn't see, you know, a lot of situations where he felt uncomfortable in the pocket. Just from a team perspective, man, just a really good win. And, you know, we're talking about an SEC team who has faced a lot of great competition in that conference this year. So, you know, I think that really says a lot more about Clemson, you know, compared to what we were seeing early on, maybe even halfway through the year, at where this team is right now.
Yeah, for sure, as we continue to visit with Landon Walker here on the program. Landon, I want to ask you about, now that the season has concluded, just kind of the difficulty that comes with playing essentially a different offensive line combination every week. I understand that Clemson didn't live up to expectations in totality this season, but I really thought the unit grew towards the back half of the season, even with depth pieces being thrown in out of position, different combinations on a week-to-week basis. What was your evaluation of the last six games or so for the Tigers' offensive line?
Well, you know, initially I think it says a lot about the coaching staff. I mean, I think, you know, it puts them in a very tough position when you're having to make those kind of changes for the season, you know, multiple times throughout the course of the year. I don't even know how many times we talked about offensive line changes this year, but it was at least three or four. And, you know, whether it be a player here or you know, two guys here, you know, they had a lot of injuries. And so that's impactful, right, to the total team. And being able to see those guys bounce back every week and, you know, the Duke game was one of the initial games we saw that offensive line really play together as a unit, and then how they progressed after that, going on the road to Louisville, some of those games that they had really tough environments. This team looks so poised on the road in South Carolina. I felt like that was going to be really who was going to beat themselves, and this offense went out there and executed, and South Carolina beat themselves with the interceptions, with the fumble. Those sort of things kill your momentum, and they didn't have those things happen. And again, as an offensive line, you know, they looked like they had been together all year. I didn't see really any negative points that I was like, man, these guys just aren't flowing and they're not working together well. It seemed like it was just working with what, you know, combination they were able to put on the field. So, again, very, very good takeaways from the last game of the regular season for sure.
Landon, when you as an offensive line as a unit are, you know, Dylan Stewart, the pass rusher for South Carolina, is one of the most talented guys in the country. They've got Johnson. Yep. Like they have some very talented guys up front. What? How does it feel as a unit when you're walking off the field at the end, when you basically go up and down a stat sheet and you have to try to see if the most talented players from an opposing defensive line even played? Like, what kind of confidence do you think that gave this unit walking out of there that they basically eliminated one of the best pass rushers in the country?
Yeah. I think it really says that you contributed. You know, I think that the hardest part of playing offensive line is, right, we talk about this some, is you don't get to carry the ball, right? You don't get the yards. You don't get to score the touchdowns. You don't get the fancy you know, you don't get your name in the paper for what you do, but you contributed to that team excelling. And I think we've seen this year just how important in this new era of college football that a good offensive line is. And I think that it's just as important to have the coaches to be able to say, hey, look, who are we going to put in this spot, and who are we going to move here or move there? And, you know, can Brandon Jacobs play left tackle? Can he play left guard? Those are so many different moving parts that this team has had to overcome. And so, you know, we just talk a little bit about executing against a great SEC defense and really good pass rushers. I think it puts them on the map. You know, I know they've had a lot of seniors and a lot of guys are going to be leaving that room, but I think the youth in that room they're saying a lot about that as well. I think there's a lot to look forward to from this offensive line. I think the coach is doing a great job. And like I said, I think some of the underlying storyline here is that these guys weren't together, right? They're playing right now. They weren't the same offensive line they started in week one. So, you know, I think that says a lot about the program as a whole, how they're growing towards making sure that those guys are dogs in that position.
Landon, how can the Tigers use this momentum trending towards the bowl game and really entering the offseason for some of the younger classmen on this team? I know, obviously, you played a lot of football. You had a couple seasons that ended really well, a couple seasons that you would have liked to end better. What does the difference do from a season-to-season standpoint when you finish strong like the Tigers have in the regular season?
Yeah, it says a lot about, you know, how do you end the season on a good note, right? We talk about the South Carolina game, and that is a really good momentum shifter to the bowl game. Bowl practice is really, it's really difficult when things aren't going well, and it's really not fun to be a part of when you know that, man, we just don't have it right now. We don't have that niche that little thing that we just need to everything to click on all cylinders. Right now, these guys are rolling on all cylinders. So going into bowl practice with that kind of momentum is, you know, it's going to keep everything sharp, keep practice moving right, keep guys positive. Because, you know, you kind of get a little lull to sleep with the first little bit of bowl practice because, you know, you're obviously they're not playing for a playoff spot. Okay, that's obvious. But at this point, you're going to get a decent bowl game. You know, you've earned the right to do that. And I think Coach does a good job, Coach Sweeney especially does a good job of saying, hey, look, we're not playing for the national championship this year. But what we can do is we can set ourselves up for how we respond and how we continue into next year. Because right now, 2026 is where the goal is, right? Ending 2025 on a high note and winning the bowl game, coming out of the season knowing, hey, look, this team's built for it. I think it says a lot about how they're going to end, you know, end this regular season and obviously end the season with a good bowl finish.
Landon, today is National Signing Day. Take us back real quick to what that day was like for you when you put pen to paper and decided to officially commit to playing for the Clemson Tigers.
John, it was pretty easy for me. You know, I made a decision to go to Clemson very early in my career in high school. So, you know, going into my senior year, I'd already made that decision, and it was easy for me. So it's really easy for the guys that have already made the decision and know where they want to be, and they're really settled in their mind of, hey, this is the place for me. It's a great day for high school kids, and not even that, you know, guys that are coming out of JUCO and whatnot and all the new transfer portal. There's so much moving parts now, so many moving parts. But, you know, it's a good day for the university to have these players committed and fully committed now with signing that piece of paper. But, man, it's a day that you go look back on and you say, hey, look, this is where a lot of things in my life shifted to what I had no idea what was to come. So these players that are signing today, they have no idea how good of a place that they're coming to, man. It's the character building, you know, the ability to go there and be a better man and be a better football player, that doesn't exist everywhere. I think that's obvious. We've talked about that. You know, it's not just about winning football games. We love that. That's what we want. But, again, it's about being a better person, being a better man and graduating and doing all these little things that I think that you're not going to get that experience every college in this United States now.
Landon, my final question for you, and I would be kicking myself if I did not give you the opportunity to have about 30 to 90 seconds on this. But outside of being your second best groomsman at your wedding, obviously I'll take the cake as number one. Take a moment here to talk about Willie Korn's announcement yesterday to stepping away from coaching and hanging up the whistle and getting out of football.
Yeah, it was a shocker for me to see. You know, I haven't talked to Willie once he's made that decision. We do keep up with each other, but, man, I respect his decision. And football is a tough sport as a coach. And I think that you see that from a player's perspective, more so when you're in college playing, at how much these guys spend at the facility and how much time they have to spend away from the families and how much they devote to the university. I think that that really is something that's not talked about enough. I feel like as a college coach, you are really, really, you know, kind of married essentially to that university while you're there. And, you know, your family time is bleak. You know, you don't get to see your kids grow up as much as you'd like to, and you don't get to see these little things. I remember being a college player and seeing, you know, all the families come to practice, and that was the only time in the evening that these coaches were getting to see the family. So, man, just the amount of commitment they have to the university to be able to coach. So I think that that says a lot about Willie's decision. I think that he's probably, you know, just reading a little bit, ready to make that decision to be more of a family man, and I respect that. I think that that's important to me, and I know it's always been important to him. He has two beautiful children, so I think that, man, it's a tough world to coach in, and I hope that he finds success in whatever he does next. But, again, it's just a reality check for, I think, everyone to see, hey, look, college football is a very tough sport for all sides involved.
Landon, I'll leave you with this, as we do every single week that you call in. Texter 6094 gets in. 74 days to the Daytona 500. Three-peat for the 24 car. We'll be down there all week.
Let's go, man. Let's go. A three-peat would be huge. It'd be a heck of a way to start the season. And, you know, look forward to seeing where, you know, these Clemson Tigers wind up, and look forward to seeing the bowl game. It'd be awesome.
Looking forward to it, Landon. Can we get you on before the bowl game?
Would love to, guys. Look forward to talking to you guys about the bowl game, and hopefully, that, you know, whoever they're paired up with, it'll be great.
Absolutely. And then, you know, before we know it, you can take everybody through memory lane of what Matt drills are like with the full offseason with Coach Sweeney. So
can't wait, guys. Y'all have a great day. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Landon. That's Landon Walker, former member of Clemson Tiger and member of the William Byron Race Team.
Thank you to Landon. Appreciate you checking in with us. As always, fun stuff here on the show. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. We'll go a little abbreviated around the horn of the upcoming segment and then turn things off to Dabo Swinney at 11 a.m. rather, for his press conference about National Signing Day and Clemson recruiting. Quick break here on the show.
Hello, Clemson family. I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant football coach for the Clemson Tigers. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott Signature Homes, a smarter approach to luxury living. We're thrilled to announce our newest project, a brand new neighborhood development right here in Clemson. Our new community at Heatherwood will feature over a dozen homes hallmarked by thoughtful design, quality craftsmanship, and a seamless build experience from concept to completion. Visit us at NewtonScottSignatureHomes.com to start your build and learn more about this exciting opportunity. Go Tigers!
Hey y'all, it's the Rocket Roger Clemens here. Spent a lot of time pitching heat. Years later, the pain in my joints remind me of those days, but I'm not looking to sit still, and I definitely am not interested in going under the knife. That's why I chose QC Kinetics.
Not just for elite retired athletes. QC Kinetics gives everyday folks joint pain relief using regenerative treatments that work with your body to help repair joint damage.
No surgery, no long recovery, whether it's your knees, hips, shoulders, or back. My friends at QC Kinetics will help you get moving again so you can get back to doing the things you love.
Meet face-to-face with a QC Kinetics medical professional on a free telemedicine video call today. Find out if you're a candidate.
I trusted QC Kinetics to help me feel like myself again, and I'm proud to recommend them to you.
Call QC Kinetics today and schedule your free consultation.
Call QC Kinetics, 864-766-8454. That's 864-766-8454. 864-766-8454.
Holiday shopping time is running out, so give a gift that actually gets used. Odyssey Vehicle Outfitters, home of Rhino Linings of Greenville, has gift certificates ready for the ladies and the men on your list. From spray-on bedliners and protective coatings to lift kits, wheels, lighting, racks, steps, and custom accessories. And they can upgrade their ride any way they want, whether they work hard, play hard, or hit the trails every weekend. This is the gift they'll remember long after the holidays are over. Don't wait. Grab holiday gift certificates now at odysseyvehicleoutfitters.com and wrap up something Rhino tough.
It's that time of year again, and you're trying to figure out what gifts to get your family. We know everyone is busy, and who wants to deal with all the Christmas traffic and shopping congestion? Elite Custom Golf Carts wants to make your life easy. Come and see us and get a gift the whole family will love. With free delivery in our custom sleighs and complete with a big red bow, you'll see the shine in your family's eyes when they see your Christmas surprise. Stop by one of our three locations in the Upstate and let our elves, friendly staff, help you find that perfect gift. Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Do you hate brown or dead-looking turf in the winter? At Carolina Top Dressing, they can turn your lawn into the beautiful summer green lawn everyone loves with their turf painting service. Also, now through winter is the best time to amend your soil and establish healthy roots. Ask about the soil conditioning program to get this done. Mention you heard this ad on The Roar, and you can save 10% off any of our services. Call today, 864-999-SAND, or visit CarolinaTopDressing.com to get a free quote.
You have a nice Thanksgiving?
I did, but I don't feel like myself.
What have you been eating?
I had turkey at my in-laws, turkey at my parents, had a turkey casserole this morning.
It's a clear-cut case of turkey-itis. I'm going to write a prescription right now for a double chili cheese aplenty from the world-famous Beacon Drive-In.
Next patient.
The Beacon Drive-In, where the food is always good since 1946.
Honor your graduates' achievements with a keepsake that truly stands out. Collegiate Legacy Designs offers handcrafted and hand-finished, fully licensed ring plaques for Clemson University and the Citadel, made by proud Clemson alum Greg Terry and his wife Julie. With unanimous five-star reviews and lots of repeat customers, these plaques make the perfect gift for Christmas, recent graduates, or upcoming graduates. Get your order in today at CollegiateLegacyDesigns.com. That's CollegiateLegacyDesigns.com.
No one wants it to happen to them, but unfortunately, chances are good that at some point, it'll happen to you. Roof troubles. It's one of the most important parts of your biggest investment. So when you need repairs or a new installation, you need someone who you can trust to get the job done right. You need Joe Robertson & Son Roofing.
As a family-owned and operated roofing company since 1965, Joe Robertson & Son have built a reputation for quality craftsmanship. It's why thousands of upstate home and business owners have chosen them for their roofing needs. Beyond providing quality work they're proud to stand by, Joe Robertson & Son Roofing also takes a client-first approach to their job. That means quality roofing, fair pricing, and complete customer satisfaction. Put it all together, and it's easy to see why they're the upstate's premier roofing provider.
You can't cut corners when it comes to roof repairs and installation, so go with the trusted name in the upstate. Go with Joe Robertson & Son Roofing. Get started today by visiting them online at robertsonroofing.net.
'Twas the day before Christmas, and at the North Pole, the elves were all gleeful, mind, body, and soul. The gifts they were wrapping, the cookies were yummy, with Ingles ingredients to delight every tummy. The joy in the air was as thick as the snow, and Santa was prepping to make Christmas a go. From making to baking, content as you please, when off in the distance they heard a loud sneeze. Santa was sick, and this just wouldn't do, so the elves hopped a sleigh, and to Ingles they flew. OJ and honey and tissues galore, they grabbed every cure as they ran through the store. Christmas was saved, 'cause those elves were amazing. With big thanks to Ingles, low prices, love the savings.
From our Roar family to yours, thanks for being with us all year long.
Hey, buddy. Happy holidays.
I got you something for Christmas.
Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Final segment of hour number two with Facts and Childress and John Hyde right here on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. Folks, for all of your real estate needs here in the upstate of South Carolina, go with an expert and go with somebody that has an intricate understanding of the area, Morgan Coleman Real Estate, a former Clemson women's soccer player that's going to bring a team-oriented approach to you and all of your real estate needs here in the upstate. Expertise in the area. Sellers' homes are prepped to list. Buyers are ready to purchase in the winter market. Clemson women's soccer alumna Morgan Coleman is ready to assist your buying or selling needs. Of course, she'll talk some Clemson football with you as well, some Clemson athletics. You can get in contact with her. Four words on Google, Morgan Coleman Real Estate. Very, very simple. Morgan Coleman Real Estate. For all of your real estate needs here in the upstate of South Carolina, go with Morgan Coleman Real Estate. 654-ROAR is the number. We mentioned we're passing the baton off to the head ball coach, Dabo Swinney, here on a Wednesday to give his National Signing Day press conference at 11 o'clock. So, John, that's going to force an around-the-horn type of segment early. Figure we run through some ACC-SEC challenge matchups, talk some Clemson hoops, talk some NFL as well. Would you like to start with the ACC-SEC challenge here in the final segment?
Let's start with the hoops. Give us the rundown of what's on the tube tonight.
Louisville, Arkansas, the number 6 Cardinals at the number 25 Hogs tonight at Bud Walton Arena in Fayetteville. Pat Kelsey's likely going to run circles around Calipari, but Calipari's got a loaded team as always. Best guard play that you'll see ever. I think there's six NBA players between these two teams, and you need to be watching this one if you're not watching the Clemson game, which I know everybody will be. But if you're just a national type of guy, pull this one up on your phone because it's going to be electric. Over-under at 165.5. It's a high total. Louisville minus 3.5. It's going to be a stay-away, no play for me. I'm just going to enjoy this one and try and be tracking it on my phone live from Tuscaloosa. Really excited for this one. I'm going to have to go back and watch the tape. But hopefully Louisville can get a win. ACC in the driver's seat right now in 6-3, and you need all the help the league can get. Louisville looks every part of a top five team, which we anticipated in the preseason. Let's see if they can continue that run tonight. Also at 7:15 p.m. on the U, but more importantly right here on the Roar, Clemson at Alabama. I think Clemson's going to win. I got to be completely honest. I think Clemson's going to win and is an 11-point underdog on the road in Tuscaloosa tonight. I think that Clemson poses some big-time matchup problems for Alabama. Now, here's the other side of the coin, okay? The guard play for Alabama is leaps and bounds ahead of what the guard play is for Clemson, just to be objective and to be blunt. Filon, that's an NBA player. I've been telling y'all that since last year. That kid's got the goods. Aiden Holloway, that kid's an NBA player, and he has the goods. Two NBA guards in the backcourt for Alabama. But they have struggled immensely on the glass this year. We ran you through yesterday how they got beat up on the glass against Gonzaga. They got beat up on the glass against Purdue. Those are the two losses they have on their resume this year. If Clemson plays their brand of basketball, does not turn the ball over and let Alabama get out in transition consistently, they have a very good chance of winning this game, in my opinion. I think that Alabama is going to struggle on the block against Nick Davidson, RJ Godfrey, and Carter Welling. But as John brought up yesterday, this is not a game that Nick Davidson could afford to go ghost in. You need Nevada Nick. You need the Nick that's averaging 16 points a game in the Mountain West, making all conference teams, taking his team to the NCAA tournament. If you get that version of Nick Davidson tonight, I think it could be very, very good for the Tigers, and I think you could be looking at a very similar matchup to 2023 when Clemson went to Tuscaloosa in the ACC-SEC Challenge and knocked off an Alabama team that I think is a lot better than this year's rendition of this Alabama team. So, John, I'm feeling confident tonight. I'd lay the 11 on the Tigers. I think that this is a really good Clemson team that has a little bit of experience under their belt now away from home, playing in an MTE, playing at Georgetown, and now that they've got that loss out of the way in the non-con to Georgetown, I think they're in much better position to potentially get a signature win against Nate Oates' Crimson Tide.
Yeah, I think it is certainly within the cards for you. Like I said yesterday, to me, it's all about Nick Davidson. If he shows up and he delivers, one of his better performances, like you say, Nevada Nick, then I think you've got a good chance. If this is one of his one rebound, 2-point performances, I think it has a chance to get ugly for the Tigers tonight.
You have to find a way to slow the pace of the game. Like Texter gets in and says, don't get me drinking the orange Kool-Aid. We're not going to Tuscaloosa beating this version of Bama. I can't see it, but I hope you're right. 2 years ago, Bama would wipe the floor with this year's version of Bama. And Nate Oates is not very happy with the way that his team has performed thus far. You can take the head ball coach for Bama's word for it if you don't want to take my word for it. They're outside the top 35 in adjusted defense. They're obviously third in the country in adjusted offense. But if you want to look at turnover percentage and rebounding percentage, Alabama outside the top 150 in offense and defensive rebound percentage. Clemson in the top 12 in defensive rebounding percentage, which means they're limiting teams from getting on the offensive glass, which is Bama's whole thing, right? Run and gun, win the possession war, shoot a bunch of threes, pound the offensive boards. If Clemson can limit Bama to one shot consistently, and they can get, again, limiting the live ball turnovers and not allowing Bama to get out in transition where they feast, they have a very good chance to win this game, in my opinion. This isn't the orange Kool-Aid. If Clemson's outmatched, I'll tell you Clemson's outmatched. I don't think that this version of Bama is going to overwhelm Clemson. It's just going to be about keeping Holloway and Filon out of transition and keeping the game calm. If you let the crowd get into it and you let those guards get going in transition and you're turning the ball over, yeah, you can get flooded because Alabama could flood every team in the history of basketball if you turn the ball over in live ball turnover scenarios. But if Clemson just plays their game and plays disciplined and stick to the game plan, I think you have a really good chance to win the game tonight. So I'm confident. I'm confident. Texter gets in and says, I'm glad Sears is gone. I'm glad Sears is gone from Bama. I can still see that guy shooting from deep three-point range is what Texter 81 said. Yeah, for sure. Texter said, I think this is a much better version of the Georgia team that we went to the wire with. I don't necessarily disagree with that, but Georgia has significantly more size and better front court play than what Alabama is bringing to the table. I mean, Bama has struggled mightily on the boards this year. Mightily on the boards. And that's kind of Georgia's calling card with Cyril and a ton of those other guys that they can rotate in. They beat up Florida State on the glass last night. I just don't know how Bama's going going to be able to hang with Clemson's physicality on the interior, even with vastly superior guard play, as we've alluded to. Taylor Bowen's going to have to play a really good game tonight. The 6'10 junior from Jericho, Vermont, he's only averaging 4.7 boards a game at 6'10. That's not good enough. You look at Aiden Sherrell, another one of the front court players that's going to receive a lot of burn for this team. 6'10, only 5 rebounds per game. I think Clemson's path to victory is very simple. Low possession, slow pace, beat him up on the glass, limit Bama to one shot, and you've got a puncher's chance to win this game. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Texter says, it's Jed says, Bama has better guards than Sears now. I think Filon's better than Sears. I don't think that Holloway is better than Sears. No.
Can they shoot the three like Sears?
Filon can shoot the three like Sears. I'm not going to lie. Bama can still shoot the cover off the ball. Their guards are really, really good. I don't want this evaluation to be getting away from how good Bama's guards are. They're 10.5, 11-point favorites for a reason, and this is still a really good basketball team. I do just think that this is the weakest front court Bama has had maybe in the entirety of Oates' tenure. Like, they don't have anybody in the rotation that's over 6'10". I don't know how they're going to keep Carter Welling and R.J. Godfrey off the glass. I don't know how they're going to do it. Clemson's going to have to bust their tail. Clemson's going to have to play really well to win. But I think this team's capable of doing it. And again, Brownell's gone into this building and won before. So I think that this team is more than capable of doing it. And that is for sure. All right, let's hop forward in the ACC-SEC Challenge. LSU, Boston College. Shout out to Daniel in Texas. Cover your eyes. Seriously, don't watch it. Nothing to call home about there. Go Eagles. Don't think they have any chance of winning. That team's terrible. SMU at Vanderbilt. I'd lay the 10.5 with Vanderbilt. I think Vanderbilt's Final Four good this year. Mark Bylington's done an unbelievable job in the portal. They have a really, really firm identity, and I love watching this team play. I think they're fantastic. Vandy's going to roll SMU tonight. I'd be shocked if the result is anything else. NC State's at Auburn, 9:15 ESPN. NC State hasn't been as good as I anticipated in the preseason thus far. They're having identity issues right now on both sides of the ball, and I don't think things are necessarily gelling the way that Will Wade anticipated with this group.
Well, maybe our boy with the boombox just needs to turn the volume up.
Yeah, Amir Khan, maybe he needs to get the boombox a little bit more ready to go.
Turns out that whole bit is not as cool if you're not winning games.
That is true. It's going to be interesting to see how NC State continues to formulate that identity throughout the course of the season. I think right now what they're running into is they have a lot of mouths to feed, and they don't have a lot of guys that have definitive strengths. And what I mean by that is they have a lot of hoopers that can put the ball in the hoop, but they don't have a lot of guys that are willing to do the dirty work for this team. And they've got a lot of high, big-time earners on their team that are expecting touches. You need grit guys. You need role players. I see an absence of that with NC State. Now, with that being said, on the inverse for Auburn, a lot of people have like called Stephen Pearl a Nepo hire, whatever. I don't like that angle, if you want me to be honest with you. I think that the Auburn administration isn't going to just bow the knee to Bruce Pearl and his son. If the guy wasn't qualified for the job, I don't think he would have the job. I think he's a pretty good coach. I was surprised to see that they're 8-point favorites tonight. I would probably take NC State with the points, but there is a little bit of trepidation there for me with how NC State's performed poorly thus far. Auburn is coming off of a big-time signature win over St. John's after taking the belt against Michigan, but Michigan's been giving the belt to everybody, and they look like the best team in the country right now with Elliot Cadeau running the ship up there in Ann Arbor. So that's a really good team, and Yaxel looks like the Wooden Award winner right now for Michigan as well, if you're a Big Ten guy. Virginia and Texas, it's still weird. Tickets are $12? Hold on, am I seeing this correct? Yeah, you can get in the building in Austin tonight for $12. So take that for what it's worth. ESPNU 9:15. Virginia is 6-1 with their only loss coming on a neutral to Butler. Texas is 6-2 with two quality losses. 4-0 at home for the Longhorns. Don't have a play here. Rooting for Virginia and rooting for the league. That's kind of where I'm at. I think Virginia is much more easy to root for this year because they're not playing death ball with Tony Bennett. And that is really all I have to say about that. Mississippi State's at Georgia Tech. This is another cover-your-eyes one. These are the two worst teams in their respective leagues, in my opinion, and if they're not the worst, they're the second worst. GT's got a little bit of talent. I think Damon knows what he's doing. Mississippi State's been just ridiculously disappointing this year, and I don't think that Chris Jans is a very good roster there in Stark Vegas, so that one's not one that's worth watching on your itinerary by any means. A lot of text to get to flooding in on the Adams Co. Roofing text line. Texter says Vandy might be the second-best team in the SEC after Bama. Yeah, I would say they're up there with like top-5 team in the country. I think Vandy is that good this year. Texter says Davidson has been super disappointing thus far. He's going to have to step up tonight. Yeah. I think it's more than fair. Texter says Clemson doesn't have anybody in the rotation over 6'10". I don't know what Welling is listed as, but Welling is definitely 6'11", 7 foot. I don't know what they have him listed as. They might be trying to cheat the game there a little bit, but I've stood next to RJ, and I know how tall RJ is, and I've stood next to Carter, and I know how tall Carter is. Carter is minimum 6'11". I'll just tell you that right now. I think they've got him at 6'10". He's 6'11" for sure. He's 6'11" for sure. Another texter that's getting in, Zach Foster. Think this is a big matchup tonight for Zach Foster as the X Factor, says Jed. Yeah, he's got to play defense without fouling. I mean, it's going to be a game that's advantageous to his play style. They're going to be able to get out and run, and you're going to get in transition. He's got to stay on the court. He's got to stay on the court, and that's for sure. Texter says, how can we watch the game tonight? ESPNU. And then, John, I'll let you get programming updates here on The Roar.
6:45 pregame, 7:15 tip. We'll have it all for you right here on The Roar. Really quickly, last bit of breaking news before we go to Coach Sweeney here. The Cleveland Browns have opened Deshaun Watson's practice window. They have 21 days to activate him off of the IR.
Interesting. It'll be interesting to see if Ford gets back on the field this year or really at all in his career, to be honest with you. That'll be intriguing for sure. All right, quick break here on the program. Dabo Sweeney's press conference for National Signing Day, Clemson football recruiting, coming up right after this on The Roar.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens, 90. 90-